As I have done for the several previous times of preaching, I'm going to use the lectionary this morning as the basis of the sermon. And I think you already know where it's going to go. I think everybody is very familiar with, well, it's certainly at least Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." So between these three scriptures, these three lectionary readings this morning, we have a really very good picture of what it's like to be in the blessed state of being one of the good shepherd's sheep. So that will probably be the thrust of the sermon, or that will be the thrust of the sermon, I believe, is what does it look like to be in this blessed state of being a sheep in the hands of the good shepherd? So if you would, please pray with me. Almighty God, our Father, we thank Thee, O Lord God, for bringing us into the worship of You, for allowing us, Father, to be drawn to You, to be called by You. We thank You for that. We thank You, Father, for forgiving us our sins. And now, O Lord God, as we open up Your Word and look into it, I pray, Father, that You would be with us, that Your message would come forth from my lips, that You would guard me this day. Father, that Your people would hear Your message this day. From Your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. So, of course, as we know, the Bible is full of these examples or this metaphor of the shepherd and sheep. It's extensive throughout it. It represents the relationship between God, the good shepherd, and His sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ and His sheep, us, His followers, those that hear His voice and follow Him. Today's scriptures again really emphasizes the blessed state or the position of those within the care and security of the Good Shepherd. But before we get into that, I thought I would just quickly go through, you know, what is a shepherd? What does a shepherd do? Certainly, we all can make a very long list, I'm sure, of what a shepherd does. But the few things that I was sort of thinking about as I was preparing for this morning, he diligently, of course, watches the sheep. He provides for their every need. He feeds them, provides them safety, shelter. He provides them safety from the onslaught of enemies, protects them. He leads them on the right path. And of course, the shepherd knows the path, and he will take them on the right path. The path that is filled with everything sufficient enough for their lives. The shepherd knows the path that needs to be followed and guides his sheep down that path. He guides them on the right path. And if he sees them stray a little bit, he brings them back. He calls them back. And of course, we know that sheep are prone to wandering, aren't they? Get them in a big herd, but they're prone to wander off. This sheep this way, that sheep this way. They have to be brought back in. So as these sheep wander off, and there are some, of course, and a big herd of sheep that do the wandering off, he goes and gets them. He brings them back. He goes and finds them and brings them back under his care. And this, of course, can be one of the most difficult tasks of a shepherd. It's a very difficult task when a sheep wanders off, first of all, finding them and then bringing them back. We have a video series that we've been watching, courtesy of Stephanie and her parents, and we've been watching about this, some of this concept of the shepherd and things like that, and it shows this thing of like the shepherd going out, finding the sheep, and then literally having to carry it back to the herd. And you just think of that. A sheep can weigh 70 pounds, upwards of 70 pounds, and a shepherd had to take that sheep and bring them back. All the while that sheep is kicking and screaming and rejecting that shepherd to bring them back to where they belong. But the shepherd knows what is good for the sheep. He knows that they need to come back under his care, so he gives them of himself to see that happens. It can be a long and difficult path to bring back a sheep. So why does the shepherd do this? Because the sheep belong to him. They have been purchased with a price. And it's his responsibility, and the shepherd takes this responsibility seriously. So with that in mind, let's just quickly look through the scriptures this morning. With that in mind of what a shepherd does. First, we'll look at the Gospel of John 10, 22 through 30. We have this picture here of Jesus is walking in the temple. He's walking in the porch. There's a feast that's going on, a rededication of the temple. It's an annual feast that they have. And so Jesus is walking there, and he's walking specifically in what's called Solomon's Porch. It's certainly not the original Solomon's Porch, because that was destroyed, but it would be something that they would refer to that as. And Jesus is surrounded now by the Jewish leaders, the people that are ultimately interested in taking him down. And he says, they ask their question, how long dost thou make us to doubt? How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If thou be the Christ, just tell us. Just say, I am the Christ. How long are you going to keep us in suspense? And of course, we know that they were not looking for that. They were not looking for his answer straight up. They knew that Jesus has made it plain. They knew that Jesus, who Jesus was and who he has said he was, and he has proven it. They were blind to the truth because, regrettably, they were not his sheep. They were not his people. So then Jesus answers them, I have told you, and you have believed not. All that I do in my Father's name bear witness of me. All those things I've done, they bear witness of me. I do them in the Father's name, and you have not believed. The problem, again, was not with the messenger. It was with the receivers. The problem wasn't with the message, but the ability to receive and hear that message. They did not believe because, very tragically, they were not his sheep. They lived outside the hands of God, outside the hands of the Good Shepherd. He was standing right in front of them. They were surrounding him. But because they were his sheep, because they were not his sheep, they could not see that. In fact, they could not see that the Good Shepherd was standing right there, because they were not of him. And then in a remainder of Jesus' response here, or answer, he uses the blessed state of those that are his sheep as a basis for their condemnation. He uses the examples of what it is to be in that state, to be one of his sheep. The character of Jesus' sheep, the sheep of the Good Shepherd, are they hear my voice, he says, and they follow me. We read about when Peter and Andrew and John and James and all the other disciples, when they were called, Jesus came and said, follow me. And what did they do? Followed him. Quickly, they dropped what they were doing and they followed the Good Shepherd. His sheep hear his voice. What did you do when you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd? You responded. You responded. You followed him. And Jesus continues here, again, to use the blessed state of his sheep. He says, I know them. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Nobody shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me, and since he is greater than all, nobody shall pluck them out of the Father's hand, my Father's hand. The sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ are indeed in a most secure and blessed state. This secure and blessed state is not one that can be earned, as we know. In fact, if it were based on our works, Jesus would have no sheep. We have this most secure and blessed state because our Father has given us to Jesus. This is a most secure gift. This bond between Jesus and his sheep is like no other bond. Similar to the bond between the Father and the Son. Because it is based on the bond of the Father and Son. The Father does not take back the gifts he gives to his Son. He does not take back the gift of one of his sheep. He never does. All the shepherds will lose a sheep from time to time. They cannot watch over or care for every one of them, so they lose them. Or the wolves can come along and pluck one off, one or more off. But that is not how it is with the good shepherd. Nothing can pluck one of Jesus' sheep off. The Apostle Paul reflected on this in his letter to the Romans. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, or Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus' sheep are securely his. It is a most blessed state to be the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 23 talks also about the blessed state of those that are in the hands of the good shepherd. Very familiar scripture, I'm sure, to all of us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now moving a herd of sheep is no small task. Just think of the conditions of moving a herd of sheep when this psalm was penned by David, sung by David. Moving a herd of sheep was all done on foot. Moving them great distances. That could take days or weeks or more. But the shepherd would know the path. He'd have to know the path. He would consider the path that he's going to take to get from here to there. The long distance. It could be 100 miles or it could be 10 miles. But he would consider that path. He would make sure to use the path where he could get the sheep, as he talks about here, food and water, the basics of life. In a dry, desert-like conditions, the shepherd would have to know where the green pastures are along the way from this place to that to get them the distance that they need to go. He'd have to know the path. He'd have to know where those green pastures were, where those still waters were, to give them the basics of their life. Living in the hands of the Good Shepherd, we experience in these blessings. As we move through the path of life, the Good Shepherd takes care of the needs of his people. The more that we overcome sin, the more we understand that we are in a spot of want for nothing, that we have nothing that we need when we rest in the hands of the Good Shepherd. He is faithful to bring us from green pasture to green pasture, from the still waters here to the still waters there. That his provisions are sufficient for us. He cares for our physical needs, and also the Good Shepherd cares for our spiritual needs. Among some of those most important things are the care of our spiritual needs, of course, are the Word and the sacraments. In rebuking the tempter, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Yes, we need bread to live. We need that bread to live. We need the bread of the sacrament to live. But likewise, we need the Word of God. We need to understand and know the Word of God. The Word of sacraments and worship are some of the green pastures of the Good Shepherd. We can also say that the still waters in Psalm 23 could be represented in the waters of baptism. The water that Jesus uses to bring us into his covenant. The wine. Maybe the blood that was shed for each of us. Some of those still waters, if you will. In our Revelation reading, those that are standing before the throne are clothed in white robes, made white in the blood of the Lamb. White. From blood? Yeah. Blood is red. How does it make something white? Well, as we know, the blood of Jesus cleanses our sins and makes us pure before God. That's one reason why I often, if you probably have picked up on things, often I will start the worship service with the call coming from Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though you be red, you be dirty and grimy, they shall become white as snow. They shall be like red like crimson. They shall be as wool. We come into this place carrying with us all sorts of sins. All that baggage, scarlet, dirty, grimy, bloody. But in worship and through the word and sacraments, we are made new before God. That's why we call it covenantal renewal worship. Covenant renewal worship. We come in dirty and bloody and grimy, but then while we're here, God makes us new. He makes us white as snow. What a blessing it is to live in the hands of the Good Shepherd. Word and sacrament, sometimes on Sunday we enter those doors pretty beat up by the world. We've had a week of rough waters, we could say. Some highs, some lows. Great trials throughout the week can bring us to a near breaking point often. But then we have the great blessing of receiving the green pastures and the still waters of our Lord. Sometimes it can be a rough ride from green pasture to green pasture. Say like being in Jackman in 1995. Long and difficult 3 days. Turned into 4 for some of us. Rained off and on, even snowed. But the biggest problem was the wind. The wind was howling, so much so that this river that comes off the falls that we used to stay by, this river that's a fairly rapid river, was coming upstream by the wind. So the wind is forcing the river to work against itself, pushing the water upwind. And then, of course, some of the men and boys, they had to, the men anyway, because we had George Grant with us at that time. I think that was the Sunday we were celebrating our mortgage burning, and we had a concert in the afternoon and all those great things. So a bunch of people had to get back for that. Pastor Clark, all these folks, they had to get back. So some of them braved the move across, and I think Flip was part of the crowd that went across that. And I wasn't there, so I can't tell you for sure, but I know that from their description, it's like you'd see a wall of water in front of you, and then you'd be up high and down low, and you can't see who's in front of you. You have no idea where these other folks are. A rough ride. But by the mercy of God, of course, the Good Shepherd was there. Brings them across safely. And then the glorious thing about it was us that stayed behind. We got to cross in this mirror condition, this still water condition. And I was part of that. Thankfully, I wasn't part of the rough crowd. I was part of the, got to go across smoothly. It was just like the Good Shepherd saying, enough! Let the waters be calm. Here come my sheep in canoes. They are less equipped for those rough waters. And just like that, the waters were calmed. In fact, I think shortly after they got across, the water sort of calmed down. They remained calm that night, all night long, and then when we got out the next day, it was glorious. What a picture. So when we come into worship, through our time of worship, we receive the Lord, we receive from the Lord His good provisions. In a way, we make it through the week and start the next one in green pastures and by still waters with our Lord. What a blessed state to be in the hands of the Good Shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. As I said before, sheep are all too prone to going astray. And like sheep, we as sinners are all too easily prone to going astray. We're all too easily just kind of, it's almost like a shiny object. Wrong direction. It is the good shepherd that restores those strayed souls. He does not lead them astray. Rather, he restores the strayed soul and leads all his sheep on the paths of righteousness, the path of eternal life. Living in the hands of the good shepherd is one of the great blessings. It's one of great comfort. Even though we live in the shadow of death, there is nothing to be feared. As the Apostle Paul wrote, to die is to gain. Or he confidently asked, O death, where is thy sting? Even death cannot separate us from the love of the good shepherd, from the comfort and peace as only he can provide. The provisions of the good shepherd are endless. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just like David, in the hands of the good shepherd, we cannot count the continuance of his provisions. We cannot count those things. He provides for us all day long. We have a constant flowing of his goodness and mercy. His mercy follows us wherever we are, even in our sin and straying. In his mercy, he provides the way back. We probably 100 times during the week, we probably stray. But Jesus provides the way back. He restores the soul. There's only one place for the sheep, and that's in the hands of the good shepherd, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 ends with David having the great confidence that he shares with all those in the hands of the good shepherd, dwelling with the Lord Jesus. We also see the picture of this in our reading from Revelation. Of course, there are many things going on here in Revelation. The gathering of the great multitude around the throne of Jesus, people from all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They are all clothed in white robes and hold palms, worshiping with the elders and the angels. And then we have this interaction between John and one of the elders. Who are these people? They are the sheep of Jesus Christ, the ones that came through the way of great tribulation. They are those who have persevered and stayed faithful. They are the ones that learn to be steadfast in the Lord. They are the sheep of Jesus. They are the ones where the tribulations tried to pluck off. But because they are in the hands of the good shepherd, they made it. Oh, what a great day that will be, making it. He saw them through their earthly assignments. He never left them, and his love for them never wavered. Therefore are they before the throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he sitteth on the throne, dwelling among them. As David said, they dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the good shepherd will continue to take care of his sheep. They shall know more hunger nor thirst. The good shepherd shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of waters. God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. That's kind of an interesting thought. Those hands of God, the ones that formed the earth, the rocks and the trees, and these great hands of creation, the finger that wrote in the stone, still gentle enough to wipe away the tears of his people. Oh, What a blessed state it is to be in the hands of the Good Shepherd. Those are the hands we want to trust. The sure and secure hands of the eternal God. The sure hands of the Good Shepherd. So we need to find rest and comfort in the Good Shepherd. We need to hear His voice. We need to follow Him. We need not to stray from His good provisions, from His word and sacraments. We need to not stray from the fellowship of your appointed co-laborers in Christ, our appointed brethren. If you can't find rest in the Good Shepherd, let me suggest to you that something is not right. Much like it was not right for these Jewish leaders that we read about in John. I would urge you to get it solved. Get right with the Good Shepherd. It is only with His provision that you will dwell in the house of the Lord now and forever. Another application of this is, in some way, of course, we are all shepherds, under-shepherds of the Lord, if you will. We are all called to image the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. Parents, guide your children. Metaphorically speaking, they are your sheep. They are assigned to you. Each one of your children have been appointed to your care by the Good Shepherd. Like the Good Shepherd, we feed them and provide for their needs. When they look like they're going astray, we call them back. We need to help them avoid walking away from Jesus for a time. Children, hear your parents. They are your assigned shepherds in this life. Rebelling against them is to rebel against the Good Shepherd. If you don't hear your parents, your appointed earthly shepherds, regrettably there will be consequences. It will be costly. On the good side, if you do hear your parents, your appointed shepherds on earth, you will be blessed. As we read in Deuteronomy on the fourth commandment, it will go well with you. Certainly, we all know that elders, we share in this great responsibility. We are responsible for every soul in this room and those in our membership that are not with us today. We should be working to remove everything in our lives that hinder us from this great responsibility to these souls that we have been entrusted. We do this with word and sacrament. We care to their spiritual needs through counseling, through love, through fellowship. Likewise, and in a similar manner, deacons, you are responsible for everyone in this church as well. You are called to serve these people. For you, it's more about the physical needs. The needs of this people are many, but you are called and appointed to do it and equipped to do it. Another application, when we take the baptismal oath, we have somebody come here and be baptized, and we baptize our children, certainly. But in a way, what we're doing when we do that, when we take that oath, when we're asked to guide that child, to help them through their path of life, we are signing up to be a shepherd to that child, to that adult, whatever it is, whoever it is, I should say. We are to help them stay on the paths of righteousness. If we see them straying, we help them get back to the safe hands of the Lord Jesus. If they have strayed, like good shepherds, we go out, search for them, find them, guide them back to the safe hands of the Lord. And of course, that has to come from a standpoint of love. Maybe hold back the phrases of judgment and just show them the love of the Lord Jesus. If Jesus judged us all the time, we wouldn't be here. But He doesn't. He loves us. He brings us in. He provides for us. He is our good shepherd. And we are assigned to be shepherds of this people. It is a blessing to be in the hands of the Good Shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.